Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
On May 10th, 2012, April Kaufman was found dead in her bedroom with no signs of struggle.
Her husband, Dr. James Kaufman, immediately became a prime suspect, but his airtight alibi eliminated him from the investigation.
However, Dr. Kaufman's behavior became more and more erratic after the murder, selling April's belongings quickly, and even being accused of a medical fraud scheme to enrich himself.
After unearthing his connections to a biker gang, police started revisiting him as a suspect, all the while trying to find out
who killed April Kaufman.
Betches Media presents Not Another True Crime Podcast. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back, everybody, to Not Another True Crime Podcast. I'm Sarah Levine, here again with Danny.
Hey, yeah, you know us. We're your partners in wine, crime, and time. I know I've returned. It's hard to come back from a week-long vacation to a week of work. It's not. I don't recommend it to anybody. The vacation, yeah, but the reality crushing back in, it's a struggle.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's got to be the worst. That's why I don't take vacations, you know? That's it. I just can't adjust back.
That's why I just don't have joy. It would be so much easier. And I do want to shout out, well, I'm not going to say their name because I didn't ask for permission to, but I ran into a listener at Trivia on Tuesday.
Yes.
And she was talking about, I know, so cool. And the coolest thing, she was talking about, well, not the coolest, kind of just related to the podcast because it was right after the Son of Sam episode. And her mom was in like Queens during that time and wore a wig.
Whoa.
So that's just so insane.
Yeah, I have to ask my parents about that.
You do.
Because my mom grew up, I mean, like semi in the area, like close by. That's crazy.
And then I realized too, it's so like the energy of talking true crime. Then it was like us shouting about Son of Sam at like a bar and just like all the details and just people looking over at us like, what the fuck are you?
Like, I'm in the murder. And then people are like, what are you talking about? Oh my gosh. I feel like I was on the bus or something. And I was hearing someone like pace back and forth muttering about murder. And I was like, normally I would love this, but because I'm in an enclosed space,
yeah,
I'm a little bit alarmed.
Because we're traveling to the same destination. It is.
Right. Oh, but that's good. I'm glad you had fun. I need to take a vacation soon. But more importantly, we definitely need to get drinks.
Please. When Jorge's back from where I'm not going to say where he is, because I don't know. I'm not going to put people on blast when he's back from where he is.
It's why you have to run a true crime podcast. You got to be very into like personal security.
Yes.
I feel like I've talked about my neighborhood just too many times. And I'm like, if someone wanted to, I'm sure they could hunt me down, but whatever.
Like, at that point, I'm like, you know what? We'll just say we all live in walk-ups. And I'm like, no one would ever deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I'm on a 17th floor walk-up. And then the murderer will just be like, ugh. I'll go for someone easier.
Yeah, like someone's going to burgle. I'm like, what do you even have up there? I'm like, no, exactly nothing.
Yeah, but before we get into today's episode, I wanted to just, I don't know, shout out. Like, as I was reading this, I was like, wait, this sounds familiar. And then I realized it was covered on Killer Motive by none other than our BFF, Troy Roberts.
Oh, my God.
And now I'm like, damn, I wish we had him on for this.
I wish he would just, I mean, he's busy and booked in a high way, in a big way. I would love him every week. He's just a joy, an expert. That's amazing. And that show's so good.
Yeah. I mean, and this murder is like awesome. And also thank you guys for everybody who put in suggestions of what we should cover in the group. Also join our Facebook group, Not Another True Crime group, if you're not in it. Literally this week, we were strapped and I just put out a call in the group. I was like, who knows about every single crime that's ever happened in the world? everybody in our group. So I just put out a call. I was like, guys, what should we cover this week? It can't be anything super in depth because like we don't have a ton of time.
No, exactly. Because Sarah texted me, hey, what should we do this week? Well, I'm like hungover getting off a plane, like housing down a Dunkin' Donuts bagel. I'm like, girl, like the crime of where my money went. And I don't know. Yep. I got nothing. Y'all came through with this episode. And before we get into this
episode.
You guys
did. And also you lined us up with a lot of good future topics like the yogurt shop murders. I love a good name. That one's really catchy. So I'm into looking at that at some point.
We will make sure Demi Lovato does not listen to that episode.
Oh my God.
But if you guys haven't listened to the Troy Roberts episode we did with him, it's from like maybe 2 months ago or so. Check it out. It's super good. And then it's good. And this case was good enough for him. So it's good enough for us too.
It's great. We love it. That sounds weird to talk about a death, but like it's this thing it's sounds. I know it's so Jersey, and it's also just it sounds like a Lifetime movie. I mean, I'm sure that a Lifetime movie is based on this.
Oh, without a doubt, there has to be.
Like, I would love for number one Lifetime to come in here and get the movie rights, but I also could see Wondery just doing a season of Over My Dead Body on this specific crime. That would be so good. Cause I have a lot of questions about the biker gang. And
that wasn't the majority of what I was Googling all last night. I'm just quite, we'll get into it.
Good. I hope you found something interesting. Cause I couldn't find a lot. I mean, I guess it makes sense. They have a code of silence or something.
They are. Yeah. They're moms.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we are going to talk about the murder of April Kaufman. Also wait, sidebar before we get into it. So my dad well, like he just has gotten into this habit of like watching Dateline in the middle of the night when he can't relaxing. Sleep. Right. Like wonder where I get it from.
I was going to say truly like father, like daughter.
Legit. And so I texted him as we were researching this and I was like, I got a great murder for you. And he was like, cool. I'll check it out.
You're like, thanks for the rec. It's the new book club.
These are my family dynamics. I got a murder. You got to check out.
I love it.
Okay, so now without further ado, we really will talk about this murder. So April Kaufman was the host of a popular weekly radio show in Atlantic City, and she was also a veterans activist. She did a catering business with her friend Lee, just kind of like she was a woman about town.
I was going to say, low-key living my dream life. Like, this feels like a goal in Compass.
I know. What if we just do a live recording in Atlantic City? Then there we go.
I'm down.
Daddy's out. I'm not down.
Yeah, I love Atlantic City.
I love it.
It's air conditioned. Yeah, it's so good.
I love it. April was given a governor's award for outstanding community service, incidentally, a few days before her death. But this is just to speak to like how active she was in the community and also really big on supporting vets. But this is what I love. And this is the real, like, just, I feel a very Jersey part of it. So her friend Dawn told Oxygen. First of all, her friend Dawn.
Dawn.
That's it. So Dawn.
Dawn went to Oxygen and she has something to say. Yeah. That's she says it. To me, one. She says, that's what every mom in Jersey. And I feel like once you reach a certain age, because I'm about to say, she says to me, she says, and I'm like, you oh could just God, say one
that's
of those,
so true.
But you just say both.
So true. So she told Oxygen that April could definitely piss people off and also had a knack for telling you to go to hell and make you look forward to the trip. Which, like, goals.
Like, that is so, like, it's paints such a picture, but also what is the picture of?
I don't know. I mean, this is what I want to hear, though, because every true crime show is like, she lit up a room and everybody loved her. And Dawn is over here like, nah, she had a smart mouth and she would tell you to go to hell.
Dawn is having like 3 pumps caramel in her large Dunkin' Donuts saying, okay, let me tell you something about this girl, April. Yeah.
And her coffee. Yeah, wait, that's coffee. New York, I guess.
Yeah. That coffee is a little bit Jersey too. It has.
All right. We'll give it to you too. We can share.
Coffee.
But also, April was described as vivacious. I mean, I think she was a pretty popular lady.
Yeah, she's popular and gorgeous, too. I was looking at pictures, yeah.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. And she had a daughter, Kim Pack, from her first marriage. And Kim is going to come up, which is why I mention it. Couldn't find much about her first marriage, but yeah.
There we go. Yeah, so that was kind of the first one. But now we're into the main marriage that we'll be discussing today. James. So James was a prominent New Jersey endocrinologist, so doctor, all that jazz. He said, emphasis on the said, that he was a Green Beret during the Vietnam War. So naturally, April fell for him because kind of like she was such an activist for veterans' rights. You know, it's kind of almost was like star-crossed lovers.
And he had this story about like escaping the Viet Cong and like doing all these heroic things. And I'm sure he just spun all these tales.
A lot of tall tales.
Yes.
And these tall ones. Tall drink of waters. And these tall tales turned into a wedding where they got married February 14th. Don't love that they got married on Valentine's Day.
I don't love that.
Don't love it. But in 2002, who knows? Maybe it was.
You know, maybe it was like the cheapest date or the date that worked for them.
I'm not going to judge either. Because, you know, if they cut a deal. In Lynnwood, New Jersey, they were something of a power couple, according to
Austin. I love that. I mean, I have no knowledge of Lynnwood, New Jersey. Do you know the vibe?
I try to think where I'm trying to like picture it in my head. Okay. Yeah. Just like south. It's like kind of near Atlantic City ish between Atlantic City and Cape May.
So is this like shore status?
I would call it, here's my thing. It's the shore for people who are from Philly.
Okay. I actually totally get that because.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. A lot of the like local news articles I read were like, in this murder that rocked South Jersey and Philly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, we have a tri-state. No, a bi-state murder.
Happy Pride. It's a bi-state murder. Yeah.
Right. Yes. We got a two-state murder.
No, cause that's the thing. Cause it's so close to Philly over there. So that's very much Philly mentality area. But I always say to anybody in Philly, just drive north a little bit, go to Asbury Park. It's so much more fun. I mean, no shade to Cape May, but some shade to Cape May. Oh, I just stayed at the worst hotel there once. So bad it was on Hotel Impossible.
No, wait.
And
I need to know everything.
And the episode, no joke. It was me and my mom went there because we were like, oh, we went to Cape May when we were younger to be so fun. Miserable. Just drinking truly, like the only alcohol that we were able to find was no joke, Skinny Girl Margarita.
No.
With Skinny Girl Pina Colada, because the margarita is okay. The Pina Colada is truly I was drinking nail polish. And we turn on the TV. Hand to God, not even kidding. Where Hotel Impossible's on, the episode is the hotel that we're in.
You're joking. You're like, wait, why does that look familiar? That's the worst, like, that's the worst moment.
I'm like, I've seen that cockroach before. I'm like, oh, it's Bess down the hall. Hey, how you doing, girl? Yeah.
Oh my God. I imagine if they just like advertise it out front, like as seen on TV, and you find out it's Hotel Impossible.
Yeah, it's like on HGTV, they're like, ooh, did a gain stay here? No, they would never.
Oh no. Oh God, that's so rough.
It was worth. And I do feel like James, the husband, was probably estimatedly worth more than this hotel because his estimated worth was $4.6 million.
Yeah, which is like, I don't know. This just makes me realize, like, I have no idea what doctors make. I know it's a lot of money, but I didn't think they were like millionaires.
Well, it fluctuates.
I guess he was like a good 2 decades older than her. That's so true. I guess if you're kind of nearing retirement, you have the money to be worth millions.
The wealth trickling in. Yeah.
So I'm told.
I mean, but according to a book, Doctor Dealer.
Oh yeah, which I honestly low-key want to read.
I know it's captivating because this is like a really interesting story. Yeah,
it is.
Jim was in debt from spending money on cars and motorcycles. Emphasis on the motorcycles.
Like, all right. cliche.
It's so cliche. I'm like, how big is this driveway in Lynnwood? I don't really get.
Legit.
I'm so happy that like I don't know what cars are because I feel like I could get swayed into like trying to be like, oh, I need to get nice cars. I don't know what any of them are.
My thing. Like if I came into a sudden windfall, definitely not at all from a life insurance payout. I would not be. Well, first of all, I don't drive very much, but I would not spending it on cars because I just don't care about how the cars look. I'm like, this Toyota Corolla is going to get me where I need to go.
That's exactly it. It gets me A to B. And also I want to be like, so I have to just like, now I'm in charge of a vehicle. I can't.
No, now I have to do the work of driving and like paying attention. No, I'll just get on the subway.
Right. I'm DDing. Like if I have money, I'm just going to Uber more.
Right. I'm going to Uber more and like maybe live by myself. But yes. Who knows?
That is the plan. That is the vibe. Yep. He was also involved in multiple insurance scams.
Yeah, I wish I was able to find out like what the scams entailed. Obviously, there's the big one with the bikers, which we'll get into in a second. But yeah,
and the payoff.
I think he would basically just bill people for unnecessary procedures and then take a kickback because he was like an endocrinologist.
Yeah, there's a better term for it, but like stuffing the bill. Do you know what I mean? Where it'd be like
padding it.
Padding it, yeah. Ooh. I think so, because that's when it's like, because like when you get a bill that big, I mean, you should look through, but also if I'm looking through a medical bill with all these words, I don't fucking know what any of them mean.
Like a million codes. Like they don't even tell you what it's for. I got a COVID test and the copay came to $0, but like my insurance will be like, here's how much it cost and here's how much we paid. So here's how much you owe. And it was like, it billed some random medical clinic in like, not Yonkers, like maybe the Bronx or something, or like very far uptown. And I couldn't recognize what they called the procedure. I was like, what the hell is this? And then it was like, cost $300. We paid $300. So you owe $0. And I was like, okay, but what do you think? Like, I wasn't uptown or in the Bronx anywhere. Like, what the hell was this? So I had to like Google and basically cross check with my calendar and then realize it was from a COVID test I got at LaGuardia Airport, like a totally different area of the city.
Oh, that is so weird.
Yeah. So anyway, I get how people would fall for it because insurance is a nightmare. And most of the time you're like, yeah, I'll just pay it and make it go away.
Yeah. Well, it's also a thing too, where it's like, it's the type of payment where you're like, well, I need this. You're like, well, I'm not going to be like, actually, I'm okay. You're like, okay, if I'm going in to get surgery, a procedure or a test, you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to just risk it for the biscuit.
Or it could have just been a thing where like he was billing the insurance company for it and not actually charging the patients, which honestly, if he's like scamming the insurance company out of money, I say good for him.
I would. Okay. Well then co-sign to that. I would shout that out.
I'm not really clear because I feel like I did read somewhere that he was basically just like billing people for tests and procedures or whatever that they didn't actually need.
Yeah.
But I don't know if like he would then make those people pay a copay on it or if he would just collect the insurance.
Go always punch up when you're joking and stealing money.
Steal from fucking United Healthcare. Don't steal from fucking Barbara down the shore.
Yeah, ask for refunds from Amazon you don't need. Just kidding. But I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Hello. Just speaking for a friend, hypothetically.
Yeah. but then Lee Darby, speaking of friends, Lee Darby, who's a friend of April, said that Jim was controlling and she and April's former sister-in-law, Julia Loftus, oh, I know someone with the last name Loftus, often called Jim Perimeter Pete.
I thought it was so funny. That reminded me of like, wasn't there some other case where they had a nickname that wasn't even the guy's name? Wasn't it that Chester the Molester guy?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah,
where it's like, you know, it's bad when people have to make a nickname for you that doesn't actually incorporate your name.
Your name. And also just involves molesting. And people are just like, oh my God, that's his nickname.
Right. Like, Chester. And you're like, isn't that guy's name? What was it? Fuck. Rob or something? I don't know.
I think so. Yeah. It's not, Rob energy.
Yeah.
So Loftus said that he was obsessive about the security of the house, kept the doors locked. I mean, that kind of makes, I mean, I that's
I fair. Know. Well, this is what Oxygen like said, or it was the post. I forget which one.
And only exited or entered through the garage. Okay. That part is weird.
Actually, but like, okay. Honestly, we do that in my parents' house.
Wait, I was going to say, I feel, yeah.
We use the front door on special occasions. I don't know if that's a weird thing. DM us at Not Another True Crime and tell us about your door habits. I'm actually curious because we literally only use the garage.
I was going to say, is that a super secret serial killer trait or the way to not be super secretly serial killed?
Well, here's our thing. It's because I just don't think that our parents want to give us copies of the key, which is annoying. So it's easier to just be like, here's the code.
That's actually true. And it was always fun. I remember growing up, I would always be like, I'm under before it's all the way up. Like it was a little like aerobic.
Oh, so fun.
Yeah. Don't really push yourself to the limit.
It's like extreme bingo. Where if you lose, you're going to lose a finger.
You're going to lose it all.
Yeah.
But however, Lee kind of disputed this. I mean, I guess a lot of people do that. Loftus said that Jim would have a lot of cash at home and $20 bills. Again, that's just Jersey.
Is it?
I feel like back in 2012. I mean, I guess that depends how many lots of bills. I was like, I feel like in 2012, I would still like call for pizza, get two pies for the family.
True.
Maybe a salad and it'd be 20 with tip.
I guess that's true, but I think they're thinking like rolls of $20 bills.
That's true.
Or something more extreme in order to make it worthy of reporting on.
I guess that's true if it's notable $20 bills. Yeah.
But nowadays we're like, oh my God, this person had one bill in their wallet. Like, lock them up. Oh, I don't trust it.
I don't get it at all. But you know, it's the hack now. Here's my hack. I'm teaching some people how to save some things.
Okay.
Because no one has cash anymore, but businesses still like to have cash. So it's the perfect haggle skill. Say you're like, something's like $75. You're like, well, I have 60 in cash, or do you want 75 in card? They'll be like, a lot of times they'll be like, just give me the 60 in cash, because they don't have to pay all the fees. Cause that's why a lot of things are paid more, because like, there's like a service fee for the card and everything like that. Just what I've been noticing sometimes.
Wait, what kind of businesses are you doing this at?
Well, I had it once for a handyman that came.
Oh yeah, totally.
And I had a friend do it for movers. And
Yeah.
So then things like that.
I thought you were like walking into Zara.
I was like,
I will try it if it works, but
Please. Zara customer service, or whatever it is, they just laugh at your face.
Right.
And their dressing rooms still aren't open. So everything I bought for my trip was a Hail Mary toss. Thank God it fit. But I was just like, this is pushing it to the limit.
Oh my God. Yeah. I had the worst like Lucky Brand customer service experience, because I wanted to buy jeans, but like, I'm seriously all over the place. Like, when it comes to buying jeans, like, I could be a 2, I could be an 8, because
their women's sizes are so fucks. Yeah.
So I literally like did their little chat thing, and I said, hey, I'm interested in buying these shorts. I'm really not sure what size to get. Like, I know my measurements. Can you help? And they were like, what size do you normally wear in jeans? And I'm like, I don't know, a 6.
Like,
and then the person was like, but then I explained, like, you know, this, you know, I've worn anything from this range to this range. And the person on the other end goes, a 6 would be a 26. Thank you. Good day. And I was like, okay, like, no.
You're like, that's actually not my
I was like, I didn't need help with the formula. Like, can you tell me how these fit? Like, do they run small? No.
Do they wash and shrink? Oh, that is annoying.
Just, this is our A to B conversion. Like, no.
Yeah. That's why I hate those chat things. They never help me out.
It was the worst. Sorry for this insane tangent, everyone.
You know what also was insane?
What?
Welcome to Darby. Their marriage. She said that the marriage was volatile, and basically Jim would be hot and cold Katy Perry style.
Truly. So then on May 10th, 2012, April was found shot dead in her bedroom in Lynnwood, New Jersey. She was killed in the early hours of the morning. There were very little signs of struggle except for a water bottle and some lotion was knocked over on the nightstand. Maybe one other thing was misplaced. A handyman found her hours later and called 911. And she had been shot twice, but police found no fingerprints, no shell casings, no signs of forced entry, and nothing was taken from the home. In other words, this looks like a hit.
Yeah, this looks like that's kind of just like, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, it's a hit.
There we go. Totally. And I mean, you know, we always say it's always the husband.
We have a mug that says it's always the husband.
We literally do buy it on shopbetches.com. Also, this is so exciting. We're coming out with a sweatshirt that says true crime and chill. So get ready for it, because I'm excited to wear it everywhere.
And you know what's so funny? Because it's for all the people that, even though it's summer, you're inside watching documentaries with the AC on. God bless us.
Oh, 100%.
That is me. That is
a little new sweatshirt when it's 80 degrees outside. Truly. So, okay. Well, detectives were kind of on our side. They definitely thought Jim had something to do with it. However, the problem was he seemed to have an airtight alibi. Jim left that morning for work, and cameras and phone records placed him where he says he was all day. So that was a snag.
I was like, that is kind of airtight.
Yes. However, April's daughter alleged that Jim was violent, and there was maybe a time where he pushed her down the stairs. So she was really, she just really never
trusted him.
Trusted this guy. Exactly. And she was really always pushing for years for the police to look into him. And here's where I think Jim kind of tipped his own hand.
Ooh.
At one point, he suggested that police look out the Pagans Motorcycle Club and said April might have worked with them or sort of encountered them during her work with veterans. And Jim claimed that April introduced them to him. So interesting.
Oh, what do we do with that? So put a pin in the Pagan Motorcycle Club, because we're going to go back to the husband a little bit and just kind of like the most, and like, I feel like the most.
Well, because like this, the case stalled for basically years. And then,
yeah,
because April was killed in 2012. And then it really wasn't until 2017 where there was a new, some new government official basically like had a renewed interest in the case. And then they kind of dragged every, or not dragged, but like they brought everything back up again,
yeah,
and started investigating again.
Starting investigating, yeah. So this husband, he did act, and this is kind of, I feel like, one of the most telling signs or an interesting sign to see about spouses or anybody like this after a murder. He was acting sketchy after the murder. He missed a community vigil a month after the murder.
Which gave me big Scott Peterson vibes.
SJP, Scott Jan Peterson, not Sarah Jessica Parker. I don't know if his middle name is Jan, but it's now renamed. He also brought up dating soon after, which is kind of a weird way to cope with losing the alleged love of your life. Yeah. He sold all of April's possessions without telling her daughter, which is very, that's fucked. Because I mean, like, that's like, at least give them to her. Like, what are you trying to do with this?
Right.
I just feel like there's no real reason to rush on that. True. Besides, I guess, the cash. He ended up getting also remarried to his high school sweetheart a year and a half after the murder. Weird vibes.
Well, the weirdest part about that was like they got remarried, as in they had been married before.
Yeah, they re-upped. It's like the which is, so it's kind of just like, what was this interlude all about? Confusing.
Here's the kicker.
Yeah, Kim realized Jim was eligible for April's $600,000 life insurance policy. So she hired lawyers and sued Jim to contest it. $600,000
life insurance. Always the life insurance. It's always a husband and it's the life insurance.
Signed, sealed, delivered. It's not yours, Jim.
It's like, instead of doing, Julia Roberts movie where
Big Mistake, Huge? Or no, Being Aaron Brockovich?
I was just thinking where they have a marriage pact to like get married if like two my best friends friend's do wedding. That. Yeah, like where two friends have a marriage pact. Like, it shouldn't be like that. You should have a life insurance pact with your best friend.
I like that. And you still saying, I say a little prayer for you though.
Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good, that could be.
And then you just have to make sure that your friend doesn't want to kill you. This is where it gets interesting.
That is a hard one.
Tough.
That'd be the twist at the end.
That'd be a good twist
for the sequel that we just spoiled for the movie that we're writing. So this lawsuit ended up being key for a few reasons. One, spoiler alert, the lawyers found that Jim never was in the military.
That's crazy.
That's a big thing to lie about.
Yeah.
Two, the lawyers were now able to question Jim under oath about April's murder. In the deposition, he said, I ran upstairs, he said. I looked inside and unfortunately saw April lying there and she wasn't moving. I ran downstairs out to the lawn and was hysterical and started vomiting. He first said the police killed April and then said,
what? This was like when they were questioning him under oath and they were basically like, well, who do you think did it?
Exactly. Because that was the thing. Because he wasn't even brought in for the murder. He was brought in for the life insurance situation. Because
he had this alibi.
Yeah. And then, so then he was like, oh, the police did it. And the police were like, no, bitch, you know how we are. Nope. And then said, maybe it was a veteran suffering from PTSD out of nowhere. I guess because she worked with veterans. And then said, maybe it was a slumlord, April criticized. Then brought up the biker gang. Also say still.
This is why if somebody's lying, you don't say anything and then you just let them continue to ramble.
Because they just spew. They just spew. You can just have them keep on going. That's how sometimes less is more for your end.
Truly, less is more when it comes to catching people in a lie.
That is true.
So then this is kind of what we talked about. So in 2017, this case had major developments. because Jim was accused of medical fraud. Bum, bum. So like I'd mentioned, it was alleged that he was ordering unnecessary blood tests and pocketing kickbacks. And so when authorities got a warrant to search his medical office, Jim just snapped. He came out with a gun. He was threatening suicide. He was yelling, "I'm not going to jail for this." And there was this 45-minute standoff, after which Jim actually finally agreed to give himself up. So he ended up getting arrested for a weapons violation, which in turn gave police access to his phone records. Boom, and boom. While looking through his phone records, they noticed that Jim was corresponding with a man by the name of Ferdinand Augello, the head of the Pagans motorcycle gang. Also, I just thought this was funny because among the Pagan circles, this man was apparently known as Miserable, which, like, same. You're like, that's not, I don't think that's like the name that you want the head of your biker gang. Like, your biker gang head is basically Eeyore.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's like sad. Or like, what are your feelings charts today and everything like that?
Yeah.
They had very interesting names.
I want Destroyer, not like, ooh, Miserable.
Yeah, just like, you know, like overwhelmed, lethargic. Wait, like that's like,
that's, it's
just
like, mine is Burnout.
I know, because the main guy's name was Satan, or, ooh, like John Marin. So it's like, you kind of think like he would be the person, like, yeah, that's a name that I feel like goes with the Pagans.
Yeah. But then it's like, you run out of demonic nicknames, I feel like, at some point. You just got to trickle down to like unpleasant emotions.
You just gotta go to emotions, Mariah Carey. I also love too, in the research, all these, like, this gang and also all the other motorcycle gangs, they're called OMGs, outlawed motorcycle gangs.
What?
That's because apparently there's a lot of them.
Are they illegal? I mean, I guess that makes sense.
They're outlawed from the borough of alcohol, tobacco, firearm, and explosives, which is a fun bureau, I'm sorry, because I think a lot of the times the gangs have firearms with them.
Wait, what would they have been doing in said bureau that they're outlawed from?
Holding, like, having, like, firearms and things like that.
So anyone in this gang is, like, not allowed to have a firearm?
Because they use it, they're usually unauthorized. I know that's how one of the people were arrested. Oh. And they'll use them to fight or intimidate other, the way this works is like
that seems like their job as a motorcycle gang. You gotta intimidate people.
You're like, guys, it's the business, because it's the Pagans is a big gang, and then what's the Hell's Angels?
Yes, I've heard of them.
Is that other big gang? So what the Pagans would try to do, and I'm sure Hell's Angels would do this as well, I just was only reading about the Pagans, they would go to other motorcycle gangs and intimidate them with their firearms to join the Pagan gang, so they would have more numbers on their side, so that Hell's Angels wouldn't encroach into their area.
So, like, they're just not allowed to buy guns legally, is what you're saying?
I don't know if it's like totally that. They might be able to, but I guess a lot of the times they would be caught using them in ways they're not allowed to, or something like that. Right. I also don't think a lot of them get arrested. I think there's only one arrest.
I mean, that does seem like the gig. Like,
yeah. Well, one time, I think the main arrest was that it was like pulled it out and was like going to shoot someone at a Newark gas station.
It doesn't seem like it's allowed.
Does not seem like it's allowed, but it's so crazy because it's like the Pagan MCs, as they call them, motorcycle club. They did not want Hell's Angels to get into the East Coast area.
Oh.
Because it's a big East Coast. It's a big East Coast crew.
Huh. A real East Coast, West Coast throwdown.
Really, it's Biggie and Pac. It's Biggie and Pac.
But with like long white beards.
Yeah. And
the
main guy
actually in this that we're talking about had like this long ponytail.
Yeah. And you know what? Now they're in Florida too. So
interesting. I could do a whole episode on motorcycle gangs because I don't understand them.
That actually would be really interesting because when I was reading about it, I was like kind of hooked. They, as of like even this month, the group in Florida in, Navarre, I don't really know where that is in Florida, they got in a fight with locals at Stripes Bar and Grill. And then 2 days later, another motorcycle gangs, the Rubs, Rich Urban Bikers, their motorcycles were set on fire in front of this place. So they don't fuck around.
That's serious. Yeah, I don't know. I guess just because it's so talked about in TV and stuff that I didn't really think it was a real thing.
Yeah.
I just thought it's like, oh, you just ride around with friends and you're fucking annoying because you rev your engines. But
that's the thing.
No, these people are scary.
Yeah. I thought it was a pickup soccer league. And now I'm just like, hello, sir. I'm like, if any of you listen on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple, don't mess with us. We're happy you're happy. That's it. I'm just going to leave it at. I ain't going to touch nothing with nothing.
My God, right? They're no old man softball league. Then things got even crazier with the pagans because authorities figured out that Jim had this deal with them where I read a number of reports. So like one report said that he was giving them Oxy so they could sell it either on the street or literally on the internet. And I was kind of like, hypothetically, what site was this happening on?
Is that like on Craigslist or right? Etsy?
Or he was selling it to them. I'm not really sure. But he would basically give a painkiller script to anyone Augello would send to his practice. And he would either take a $100 payment or he would bill their insurance.
Okay.
Sure. Which, like, just bill the insurance, like,
for your I'm not going to try to shake down a motorcyclist.
Yeah. I mean, $100 for an Oxy script, I guess, is not so bad.
And maybe that's why he had wads of 20.
Exactly.
Not for pizza.
Authorities basically came to this theory that April had uncovered the alleged drug ring and threatened to expose Jim. And so he had her killed. They also think she asked him for divorce in 2011, so the year before the murder. And when he wouldn't grant one, she started just racking up his credit cards, which
respect. Ain't no shame in that game. Hell yeah. You know what I mean? No. Yeah. She's no. going to the casino. She's going to the Sex and the City slot machine. God bless.
Oh, yeah. She's going to the Borgata.
I woke up in a new Borgata.
Yeah, it's legit. And so she apparently said that she would spend as much of his money as she could until she got the divorce. And then this was the problem because Kaufman, allegedly Jim, said that he would rather kill April than grant the divorce and, quote, lose half his empire. I think that was something he'd said to one of the pagans. And supposedly, actually, what they called the pill mill, which was like this Oxy scheme, didn't actually get Jim a lot of money, which makes sense because you're giving people prescriptions for $100. Like, that's not that much.
That's like, it's not that
like
much.
My doctor's visit bills the insurance more money than that. Like,
that is true. Also, it's like $125. Yeah.
So, damn, he was cutting them a bargain. So this pill mill didn't really get a lot of money for Jim. And as we mentioned, he was possibly in debt from these like cars and motorcycles. The one thing that he did get was access to the pagans, which is where he eventually found his hitman.
Yes. So prosecutors allege that a man named Francis Mulholland actually shot April and received $20,000 cash for it. So $20,000. Craziest part.
Well, the craziest part for me anyway.
Yeah, for you, for Sarah. According to a book called Doctor Dealer, this book that we're going to be reading, a man named Joe Mulholland drove the getaway car, Taylor Swift getaway car. Great song by her. And get this, they're not related.
Huh. Okay. Which is like, maybe this is just my Long Island Jewish upbringing talking, but I'm like, you had two Mulhollands in the same group and they're not related. I've never encountered that last name before.
I actually don't know. I've had a lot of McDonough's, McCollins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Mick, fine. I get it. But like Mulholland, it was spelled the exact same way.
Mulholland. I wonder if that's even Scottish, not Irish. Mulholland.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's what giving me Outlander vibes.
Ooh.
Yeah. People are also saying that maybe he got 50K. Over 20K we'll go with.
Yeah, between 10 to 50K, yeah. I saw like all sorts of claims.
Yeah, that's also what every Glassdoor job says for payments. Where it's like, you can make either $2 or 100K. It's like, okay.
Yeah. And then the multi-level marketing schemes are like, it's all dependent on how much work you put in.
Yeah, it depends if you hustle, honey. Augello also ended up getting charged with conspiring to kill Jim and for racketeering because of the drug ring, because what they're saying is that Jim actually didn't hire Mulholland, but Augello did to carry out the murder. But then he kind of shopped the idea around to a bunch of his pagan pals, his PPs, if you will, first.
You get shot for calling them PPs alone.
I feel like they would roll with that. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to find out, but who knows?
The pals. I don't know if that's exactly inspiring fear.
Oh my God, the PayPals.
The PayPals. Love it.
What if
that should be their like encrypted payment system?
Honestly, PayPal's really confusing. So, I mean, at least for me. So,
right.
Odello was caught in a part of because of another pagan who turned him into a CI and wore a wire.
Loved it.
It's always risky. I was very like,
this is why this needs to be a Lifetime movie, because they took this one motorcycle guy, they flipped him mm-hmm. into an informant,
mm-hmm.
and he really just wore a wire like it was a movie.
He really did. He buttoned that button.
Love it.
Francis, who was the alleged hitman, died of an overdose a year after the murder, so he never spent time in jail for it. Seven people did, although ultimately get charged in connection with the alleged hit murder situation. Jim then did something dumb, which I feel like is not, it's been tracking for him.
Do something stupid? Never.
I feel like the police at this point are like, him, you know, like Jim again, him again. he wrote authorities a letter that the whole murder plot was the pagans doing and he had no part in it, basically. So it's like, so you knew this and you weren't telling anybody anything.
Yeah, no.
So then the cops showed the pagans the letter. Who turned on him for breaking their code of silence. And this code of silence is real because the only other time that a pagan broke that was when they were on their deathbed, and it was about a kidnapping that I think happened in New York or so.
Really?
And it was like 20 years later. So they...
Holy shit. But then I wonder if that guy who turned into a confidential informant is still alive. Like, seriously.
That's a good question. I'm sorry. And the thing, it actually happened in Florida, and it was 24 years later. They kidnapped and murdered a 17-year-old girl. 24 years later, Paul Branch from the Pagans on his deathbed said, "I have to confess this. Good night and good luck."
Wow.
I know. I wonder if the informant is, maybe they just witness protection, but I feel like the Pagans, maybe. Motorcycles can go far. I think
so too. Just got to get some gas.
Got to get some gasolina. So of course, yeah.
I'm a mess. All right.
So the pagans turned on him for breaking the code of silence. They flipped and confirmed Jim was their oxy plug and he wanted April.
Those are my words, not theirs, by the way.
Yeah. But yeah, the oxy plug, the plug it in, plug it in.
I just don't think that these like old white men are being like, yeah, this is the plug, but maybe they are.
I feel they would. I will say there's pagan plug, the PP again.
There we go.
Yeah. So Jim got in it twisted.
Yeah. He was in trouble. And at this point he'd already been arrested. He was awaiting trial. I think trial was a few weeks away. At first, authorities were worried that the pagans were going to put out a hit on him. So they moved him to a prison near Jersey City. Shouts out.
Ow, ow. What's up?
And then so the case was preparing to go to trial when, unfortunately, on January 26th, 2018, this was, I believe, James mm-hmm. was found by a corrections officer in his cell with a 6-page suicide note. 2020 was able to obtain a copy of the note in which Jim denied having anything to do with his wife's death. It said in part, "I cannot live like this. I, no matter what anybody says, did not do anything to my wife." In 2018, Ferdinand Augello was sentenced to life in prison on charges of murder, racketeering, narcotics, attempted murder, just a bunch of stuff.
All that jazz.
He'll be eligible for parole after serving 55 years. But I looked at his picture. He does not look that young.
I don't know if he got 35 years.
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be out.
Well, I will say, I mean, I feel motorcycles, it's a lot of wind. So maybe he looks older because of that.
It's true. Maybe they need to have a good SPF.
Maybe. Maybe they need
all that time in the sun.
Yeah, all that time in the sun. But who knows? But yeah, it's not looking like he'll be skipping out of there anytime soon.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Like, letter or no, I think Jim did this.
I think so too. I'm just like,
come on, bro.
I feel you can either clear your conscience or clear your name. He tried to clear his name. There we go.
That's a really interesting phrase. I feel like that's something I would see on Reddit. I like it.
Oh, wait, I feel like I should do something with that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll think on that. All right. But yeah. So I feel like he definitely was involved.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he definitely commissioned this hit. I think the best benefit of the doubt I would give him, which I wouldn't even, would be like, he made a remark to a motorcycle guy of like, I just really wish my wife was dead or something like that. And the guy took it literally. But I don't think so, because I think this Ferdinand guy was like really asking a bunch of people and nobody really wanted to do it. So in the end, the man that they got to carry out the murder, Francis, was like a drug addict. And then he ended up dying a year after the murder. Like, I don't think he was their first choice of a hitman.
Exactly. He was kind of the runner up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was an interesting case. Shouts out let me try to find who suggested that to us, because
yeah, shout out to Jersey. And also, I'm now curious. I think we might have to do down the line a motorcycle episode or something like that, because it's intriguing.
It's kind of scary, but interesting. I'm just like worried that I would talk about it and then there would be a hit put out on me.
No.
You think so?
I don't know.
I'm like, they're probably not worried about me, right? Yeah, oh, right? Yes. Well, thank you to helmet. Francesca.
Ooh, Francesca. Who, I love that name.
Suggested this one. Once I saw like Doctor Murder for Hire plot, biker gang, I was like, I'm Jersey. Sold.
Yeah, we're done. That's all of our buzzwords.
Right? I'm sold. So thank you guys. And please join the group, Not Another True Crime Group. Super fun. Follow the podcast on Instagram at Not Another True Crime. Without further ado, please welcome Jorge.
Jorge.
All right. What a case. It's an interesting one. So much intrigue.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
So many plot twists. So as I was looking at this case, I kind of had the same reaction as you guys did. Just Ooh. This biker gang culture really stuck out, just being so bizarre and interesting and curious. So today's game is maybe a sneak peek of a future episode.
Oh.
So we're going to be diving all into the world of biker gangs.
Oh.
And this game is going to be called Angels and Pagans.
Oh, excellent. I wonder why.
That combo, that hybrid.
Right?
So This is how it's going to work. I'm going to give you a fun fact about a biker gang. And it's going to be your job to tell me whether this is about the Hells Angels, which is another super big biker gang, or the Pagans, which is the one that was involved in this.
All right.
So first up, in the 1960s, their president was paid the same amount as the U.S. president.
Pagans.
Paid? Wow. Well, I guess I just have to... This is the strategy. It's like, do I just piggyback on Danny's answer every time or try to go 50-50? I would say the Hells Angels, because I've heard of them before.
Danny is correct. It was the Pagans.
How did you know that?
Because I was looking them up last night.
Oh, yeah, you're right. unfair advantages.
Because I prepared for the podcast.
Wow. Cheating. We got some insider trading going on.
Danny might have a bit of an unfair advantage in this one, but yeah. Hey, Danny can use all the help he can get. Let's be real.
Can I say I need it?
So the Pagans were actually established in 1957. So pretty early on. And then in the 1960s, they actually adopted like a formal constitution and a governing structure. So like very legit. And they chose a national president. And at that time, they decided that that president would be paid the same amount as the U.S. president, which was about $100,000 a year. It's pretty good. Six figures, especially back then.
Back then, too. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And they called this gesture a show of class.
Show of class.
Yeah,
they're elegant as fuck. Yeah.
I mean, I suppose.
Hey, you know what? If someone wants to pay me whatever $100,000 is now from the '50s for class, God bless. Yeah, I will happily.
I'll take it.
I mean, true.
All right, Danny is on the board. 1-2-0. All right, next up, a member was quoted as saying in 2000, "The club as a whole is not racist, but we probably have enough racist members that no black guy is going to get in."
Oh my God, either. Both.
Yeah, that's actually...
Which one of these motorcycle gangs is like a paragon of diversity?
That's true.
I mean,
I'm going to go with Angels.
My Hells Angels people.
Yeah.
You are both correct. This was the Hells Angels.
Yeah, they don't seem like the most progressive lot out there.
Unfortunately not. Although they're not officially a racially segregated organization, at least they don't call themselves that. Like, as this guy said, for all intents and purposes, they are. But to my surprise, the Pagans actually have a mixed race policy. that was set by their founding fathers back in the 60s. And although, I mean, we don't really know what's really going on behind closed bike helmets, but they do reportedly have a considerable number of Latino members specifically. So
okay,
they got that going for them.
There we go. Okay, Pagans. Pagans are trying,
I guess.
All right, 2-1. Next up, women in the club are considered property.
Both? Oh, that's the Pagans.
I feel it is the Pagans too. Yeah,
it is the Pagans indeed.
I remember reading a line about how like women weren't treated as equal in that organization. So like, how would April have introduced that's Jim the to thing. Them?
Yeah,
exactly. That is exactly the case. And it's the official rule within the club is that women are supposed to be treated with respect, but they're generally referred to as property. And they even wear like their biker jackets literally say property on the back. It's pretty insane. Yeah.
That makes sense.
That tracks. Yeah. The only thing is like property of pink Victoria's Secret.
Right. But also I'm like, how do you call someone property and treat them with respect?
Yeah. That's an oxymoron. Like it's like the yellow belly. Yeah.
Right. I saw some pictures online and it was kind of very funny to see this because I saw one jacket that said property of Scary Larry. It's just like so bizarre. Oh my God.
That's like the episode of Bob's Burgers where the motorcycle gang comes into Bob's Burgers and they really have names like that.
Wait, oh my God. I haven't seen that episode. I need to watch it. I love that show.
All right. 2-3, a very close game.
Oh, shit. Okay.
All right. Next up, Hunter S. Thompson, who was the founder of Gonzo Journalism. He wrote Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Great movie. Great book, by the way.
Shout out.
Infiltrated them. Was this the Hell's Angels or the Pagans?
Hell's Angels.
I'm going to go with Pagans.
Sarah is correct.
Oh.
It was the Hell's Angels.
Well, only because Danny said there was some turf war in the East Coast. So I was like, therefore, they're based in the West. Duh.
See, I need all the help I can get.
So he rode with them for an entire year while researching this book that he wrote that he called Hell's Angels, which I guess was kind of creative.
Imaginative title.
Right. But the book actually looks pretty fascinating. I found a bunch of quotes online and one of them was really interesting. It said, "I'm bound to go to heaven because I've already served my time in hell."
You know, ooh. I'm going to say that about work when I end up in purgatory.
I'm going to say that for every time I'm just like waiting in line at the airport.
Oh, that.
I've been in hell.
Yep.
It's JFK.
Oh, it's Port Authority bus terminal.
Oh, no. Also that. Yeah.
Have you guys watched Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas or read the book?
Honestly, no.
It's fantastic. No. Highly recommend it. It's he was very well known for being a huge acid and drug user. So his writing is super sort of bizarre and crazy. So highly recommend that if you're looking for something to kill some time. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
All right.
Very, very good. All right. We have a tie game going into the last question.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Okay. They sued Disney and won.
I think this is probably Hell's Angels too.
I would say that too. Again, they're the only one I'd heard of before this.
You're both correct. It was the Hell's Angels. And they actually sued Disney because of a movie called Wild Hogs.
Yes! Wait, I feel like I've heard of that one.
I know that movie, but what they sued?
It came out in 2007. And it starred John Travolta, Tim Allen, Martin Lawrence, and William H. Macy. I mean,
wait, I totally remember that movie.
Wow. Yeah.
The cast apparently was not enough, though, because the movie was reportedly pretty bad. It got a 27 out of 100 on Metacritic.
Ooh.
And Peter Travers of Rolling Stones wrote, "Jokes dying on the lips of these easy writers are hard to stomach."
Being like a film critic is like such a fun job because you're just a bitch.
Right. Yeah, that's literally your job. Like that's you're what literally you need to
just
do.
Yeah.
Anyways, the reason why they sued them is because the movie used the Hell's Angels Flaming Skull logo without permission.
Oh, shit.
And oh, snap.
They sued Disney and they won. Yeah.
How, do you know how much money?
So what Disney actually settled was that they removed all the logos and all the mentions of the Flaming Skull logo from the final version of the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense to me.
But yeah. Then I saw that the sequel, Wild Hogs 2, Bachelor Ride and Wedding Band, was canceled.
Good.
Lord.
I mean, I have to blame the Hell's Angels for that one. How dare they?
Or you have to thank them, actually.
Literally. They did us a favor.
God.
So after five rounds of play, we have a tie game.
Ooh.
We are both winners of Angels and Pagans.
We're both motorcyclists, yeah. AMP.
Well done.
Yay. Well, this is so fun. Thank you, Jorge.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And thank you to our motorcyclists for enriching us today.
And also thank you for Troy Roberts for low-key sort of inspiring us retroactively to do this episode. And go listen to that one if you haven't heard it yet. He tells the best stories.
Yes, definitely check it out. I'm obsessed with him.
Yes. And otherwise, please rate, review, subscribe wherever you're listening to us. Give us 5 stars. We really appreciate it.
Please.
Like I mentioned before, DM us at Not Another True Crime, or if you want to respond to the thread of episode suggestions, join the Not Another True Crime group on Facebook. Please answer the questions. Just please type something in about the podcast so I'll let you in. I know you're not a bot.
Exactly. It's easy.
Yeah. And you can follow me on Instagram at Sarah Lameme.
And you can follow me at Kashmir Danny, Kashmir with a K.
And thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be in your ear next week.
Not Another True Crime Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico and Sean Kilby. Our hosts are Sarah Lameme and Danny Murphy. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Sarah Lameme. Be sure to follow at NATC Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to natc@betches.com. Betches.